Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We love players who have, like, who give our Ostner doctors a lot of money. That's just a take, I think.
There is something in that, I think. I think we, the Saints, are literally funding Ostner.
Right.
That is literally like, what's
it's the, it is, what's the Saints facility is called? The Ostner facility, right?
Yeah.
Or something to that. So I'm convinced that the Saints are actually the NFL's hospital. You know, like, any, send us your injured players. We'll nurse them back to health and then put them back out into the league.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. This is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network, not the Fans Second Sports Network.
Fans first. We should start that.
No, we're doing fine in the Fans First.
Okay.
We are among the top performing podcasts in the Fans First Sports Network. So we want to thank all of our listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Say bye-bye.
That's one way to get some cheap downloads.
Right. Where are we? I'm your host, Jeff. And yeah, on this episode, we're going to talk about the Saints moves within the last week. Since the last episode that we published, didn't y'all record yesterday?
We published
Young signing.
It was
ordered and published.
Yeah, Our loyal listeners know that, but our loyal host who shows up for half our episodes doesn't.
Yeah, see
the good news. The good news is there's already been news on that front, so that's kind of
yeah. We got new information.
There's now a breaking news update.
Information.
A breaking that's news.
I tell you what, when I heard about it, I did a double take. Like I snapped my neck around. Just
you got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah. Yeah, does Chase Young, is he going to go to LSU and, you know, hope that the band plays next?
Just as long as it's not an Ostner doctor doing the surgery.
Oh my God. Hi, everybody.
Jeez, that's the problem. He'll never play again.
So we're beating around the bush, but Chase Young has announced that as soon as he signed the contract, he went and had neck surgery that is going to keep him out for the summer, but he is expected to make full recovery before the season starts.
Where have I heard this before?
I don't know. Every single free agent in the Saints.
So it is funny. I did
Trevor
mention
Penning, Michael. He's the new Michael Thomas.
I did mention on the breaking news that's like, man, that's kind of wild. He came in for a visit and he signed pretty quickly. So clearly he knew
Well, the other side of that,
they say that the Saints knew before making the offer as well.
Allegedly. That's
there's
history.
Also this now, I think, puts together. He was supposed to come in last week.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow delayed. We didn't know what happened. And then he secretly snuck in. Nobody even knew he arrived in New Orleans and was meeting with the Saints until he signed the contract. And then he immediately went to neck surgery. So there's clearly, there's some shuffling going on about when he needed to meet with the doctor and who met with the doctor with him and what all the medical tests were to.
Yep, your neck's broke. Sign this guy.
Oh, I mean, they said he played with it last year. So he played with that injury last year.
Well, I would have liked to have him played with it again this year. That's better than the surgery for me.
Yeah, I mean it's a typical Saints move, isn't it? $13 million, 1 year deal, and then later the guy's having neck surgery.
I think I put it out, but I'm going to say there's a 23% chance he never takes a snap for the New Orleans Saints.
This definitely screams of, as minicamp comes along. Well, he's getting better. He's not quite there yet, but he's close. He's there, and then training camp happens. He doesn't start, and they just kind of push it along. He's close. He's ready to go. He's close, and then. Finally, week 7. Hey, that's like he's going to miss half the season.
I have to medically retire.
This is what happens though when you are completely desperate. I mean, we ain't too proud to beg. So like this is we need a defensive end. In any way, shape, or form, we need somebody who can come in that might possibly be healthy, and if they are healthy, could maybe interrupt the quarterback. So I mean, this is kind of.
I had just known
about it for like 12 or 14 hours. So I'm like happy about it and I'm building up the positivity. And then I just have this waterfall of emotions that he's probably never going to play.
It's funny because I had gotten up to 7 wins in my predictor. Now I'm back to 5.
Maybe they think it's like the Drew Brees thing. It's like, we're going to invest in you and no one else will. And you're going to change the franchise for the next 15 years on your 1 year deal.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully it works out.
Do we even know what the procedure was? All I'm seeing is procedure.
I don't think they're going to probably tell anybody at all.
I mean, because a procedure doesn't have to be a surgery.
Hopefully it's not like this spinal fusion.
He's missing the whole summer. This was surgery. Yeah. He didn't get like a chiropractic adjustment.
At least it provided us with a laugh today.
He's not the only injured player that we signed to this week.
Oh, he's not.
Because our other desperate position of need, offensive line, we signed a guy that only played week 1 and 2 last year because he was injured all year.
Mm-hmm. And also missed his rookie year. Are you talking about Oli Udo? Yeah. Oli Udo.
Oli.
The former Vikings offensive lineman.
He's here for depth, right? I mean, we like those, I call it ambidextrous offensive linemen who can play multiple positions.
Well, what the hell's, and we never really talked about him, but is Nick Saldivari going to do anything?
I mean, I think he's going to be competing.
Nick Saldivari?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Remember how excited we were in our immediate draft recap when we did all the profiles of all the players we drafted? Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
And then he played football in the NFL and it didn't look good anymore.
Nope.
The good news is when Peyton Turner gets hurt in week 6, Chase Young will be there to be back and to replace him.
So here's the thing.
I think he's going to last till week six.
What are the details week 6 of the $13 million contract? And is the $13 million fully guaranteed or is it $13 million if he plays?
Yeah. So apparently, like some people are saying that there are things that the $13 million is guaranteed, but we will actually get money back towards the 2025 cap if he does miss time. Like, so he won't actually make $13 million if he misses time. It's basically like a de-escalator versus an escalator is what again, we haven't seen details, but that's what it sounds like.
Because if they knew going in, they would have put some assurances and protections in the contract. And so, because I'm already seeing fans on Twitter overreacting, being like, the Saints got bamboozled and oh my God, we just paid $13 million for a guy. If they knew about it, then we're not paying $13 million for a guy to sit in a hospital bed for the next 2 years.
Eh, I mean...
We've already done that.
Yeah, but we liked it. We can do it again.
I care less about that than just, I mean, if he doesn't play, there is absolutely no backup plan that besides running it back with the same guys we did last year that are all older.
The draft.
And not,
it's some, we don't have enough picks. We like, need
yeah
receiver. It's, they may look if the Penn State tackle,
baby, UDFAs.
If the Penn State offensive tackle falls to us at 14, I would take him in a heartbeat and I would not be angry. But then that leaves you with receiver, defensive line, defensive backs. We lost Yadam. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yadam.
Isaac, like, Yadam.
I really was disappointed that we lost him. I would have liked to keep him around. I mean, yeah. I get it. Our cap's kind of tight. But
at least we're keeping safety, though. Ugo Amadi.
Oh, hey, how about that?
Another former Chief.
Yep. Tell you, we're becoming the new Chief leftovers.
Yeah, just send Ohio State players here, and then we bring in Ohio State and Chiefs players. I mean, what can
bring
go
them
wrong?
Together, bring them together.
Doesn't even matter if they're healthy.
So, do you?
Speaking of Chiefs, we got Willie Gay. Did we talk about that last week? Was that last week?
Yeah.
Yes.
We did. Three of us did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was there for that.
I know, right?
Oh, sorry. I was late, wasn't I? Yeah, I was late.
Your mic was probably muted too.
Yeah.
The one thing about this thing is, like, so
sassy.
Look, I got a drink in my hand. I'm tailgating for the Pels game at 6:30 today. So what's worse, knowing about the injury and still saying fuck it, let's do it, or just being
well, we listened to the Ochsner guys who were like, nothing to worry about here.
I think that when you look at who's next on the list, free agents. Defensive ends.
His neck's on the line.
It's probably not a good list.
This is kind of it needed to be Chase Young.
Do you think Chase Young puts turkey necks in his gumbo?
He's probably never even eaten a good gumbo.
So the next highest ranked the next highest ranked person that's available is Kentavious Street from the Falcons.
Who's already played for us?
Not Chase Young.
But did he play, James? Did he play? He was on our roster. He's already on our roster.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm also too. It's
Solomon,
like,
Thomas and Dante Fowler are out there. I mean,
yeah, but I'll say this: any of those guys on the field playing might be better than if Chase Young never plays.
I mean, look, your thing is always, can you play? Are you available? That's always been your argument. When we talked about Lattimore, you're like, well, Lattimore missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
He's not on the
field. Michael Thomas too. Yeah,
but like paying those guys $5 or $6 million to come in and stay healthy and get two sacks, I'd risk the Chase Young thing. Yep. Of does he come in and get 8 to 15 sacks?
So you believe the 1 year deal is the incentivizer?
You would hope so, but I listened to the DC show all the time, and they were talking about this morning. It's like, yeah, the guy's got all the tools in the world, but he never really had the motivation. Like, he takes plays off. He never had the full motivation. Now, maybe some of that was, even though you don't like to say it, it's like being the second overall pick, you get all this money guaranteed. You dominated college because you were a better athlete. You just don't you don't understand through your head what it takes to be a professional athlete. Maybe because he's still only 24, he's late to the game on that, but it could improve.
Cam Jordan will fix him.
He has not been completely healthy for most of his, you know, his few years in the league. But when he has been healthy, he has looked like a just generational talent. He's also 24, so it's easy to work through some of that. Maybe this neck thing's been, you know, he played with it last year. But to answer your question about the 1 year contract, Jeff, there is not a single team in the NFL that would offer him a 2 year contract based on what he's done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also be stupid of him to have signed a 2 year contract too, because if he hits, that's what we were talking about. If he has a bad year, he's still going to get paid $10 or $11 million next year to maybe accidentally have a good year. But if he has a good year this year, he's getting an $80 or $90 million contract from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, I don't think the team or him wanted more than a 1 year deal.
The two seasons he's been fit, He's had 7.5 sacks in both seasons.
Defensive rookie of the year. And the other one, he got traded and he was one the top five, the fifth ranked pressure guy in the NFL when he got traded to the 49ers last year.
So it just really all matters if his head screwed on his neck, right? And maybe that's what the procedure was.
Maybe this is all a giant ploy for the Saints to somehow rehabilitate the Ochsner doctors, because if somehow Chase Young gets healthy and has 15 sacks, they're like, hey, look what we did. We fixed the guy. Totally redeems their reputation.
Well, yeah, but they've had how many at-bats at this point?
It's been a lot, but I won't take and one good one.
They're batting like 50.
Wait, what if...
I'm below 100 at the moment.
What if he came in thinking he was totally healthy and it was the Ochsner doctors that detected the problem in his neck?
Oh, it's a Foster Monroe situation.
Hey, these doctors have saved a couple players' lives. I tell you, one thing we do well is the physical before this, the contract. We're great at those.
The Ochsner doctors are really fine, really, really good about generating bills to the medical insurance agencies.
I don't know if it's the hernia check or everything else, but they do a fantastic job.
They saved that guy we signed from the Eagles, didn't they? The long sleeper, wasn't it? They saved him by diagnosing his heart heart condition.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. Who knows?
Dorenbos, this could have been a Dorenbos.
This could have been an injury that could have led to paralysis. They might have caught it in the neck of time.
There it is. Oh, I knew you'd join us.
Yeah, but he said next like 8 times. Couldn't do it.
It took him a while. He was waiting for it.
I mean, and if it doesn't work out with Chase Young, we'll have better luck next time.
Well, it's almost, and it's a good thing because, like, look, if it doesn't work out, then look, we have a down year. Dennis Allen gets fired. That's what we all want. It's like a soft reset. It's a reset without not fully like admitting a reset, but it's kind of a reset. I'm okay with it.
Is this a pre-reset? Is that what you're saying, Jason?
Reset. So there,
I know
is
we can agree that the signing's a real head turner, though.
I don't want to move on until we're done, and I want this to keep going on. We're gonna sit here for 20 minutes. Get them all out. Now, speaking of reset, there was a post on Who Dat Dish that I do think is worthy of conversation, and they were the whole post was basically, are the Saints, the signs are pointing to the Saints preparing for the end of an era, and if you look at all of the restructures and all of the contracts, it is set up that 2026 DeMario, Cam, Tyron, Taysom, and Kamara will all be free agents. So you got 2 years to do something with these veterans. Other than that, then your whole, Jason, your strategy that you wanted to do this offseason, in the middle of last year, it looks like they're going to do it, but they're going to wait until 2026 to do it. And that is a complete and total reset.
At least
is that not the first time we can get out of Carr's contract fairly easily as well? I think
you might be right. That's because we got him for 2 more years. And so we'd be able to get away from him too if we needed to.
It is interesting because you kind of see the moves, and it's like, it seems like maybe they're acknowledging, hey, we need to stop doing this and need to fix it. We're just going to take the slow method, where it's not going to be a total crash course. But then people are bitching and like, well, why don't we sign anybody? Why don't we sign anybody? But those are the same people that bitched it. Like, what are
we
doing?
Why'd you let Lattimore go?
Or, you know, it's like, we need to do something. And now that they're, it seems like maybe they have some kind of plan. It's 12% of a plan.
I get the desire to maybe stay, try and do something with the guys that are here, because even with Drew and Sean leaving, you still had a core roster full of talent that if you could have built something around and you could have coached, could have competed. It didn't work because either we had the wrong coach or we definitely had the wrong offensive coordinator. Yeah, like at this point though, yeah, you have to stop paying guys and you get yourself out of your cap situation, you get ahead of that and you can start over. And I think 2 years with these crew, I mean Cam Jordan shouldn't play past 2026. He should retire.
I mean, he's Tyrann
Mathieu, 2025.
Well, I mean, just saying, like, yeah, 2025. So Tyrann Mathieu, he might retire at the end of this run. DeMario could continue playing, could retire. Kamara, who knows?
He says he wants to play until he's 40.
Well, everybody.
He said he wanted to play for 2 more years after LeBron retires, is what he has continued to say.
All right. As long as he's playing at the high caliber, let's keep it up. And I mean, if you only had to re-sign DeMario because everybody else was leaving, then so you could afford to do that. So just because they're signed up to, just because they're on schedule to be free agents, doesn't mean you're losing them all. But it does give us the option.
Yeah.
Just don't extend them past when we should extend them. Which, so none of these guys should be extended.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it's got to end.
So if you had to, Jason, would you like put your neck out on the line for any of them?
It's tough because, I mean, Cam Jordan's an all-time Saint. It's like
Ring of Honor.
I love the guy, you know? Possible NFL Hall of Fame. It's possible. He's going to be borderline. But I think, you know, his what? What
if not the Ring of Honor, what about the Necklace of Honor?
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I can see that. It's just, you know, you do have an attachment to these players and you know it's going to end soon. But at some point, it, you know, you have to move on. It's like, I hate it. Like, I hate to move on from Drew Brees, but eventually we all knew it was coming.
Because, yep. You know, I'm going to have an attachment to the new players too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so
yeah.
I'm going to.
Somebody who performs.
Be just fine figuring out a way to like the next guys.
A new good quarterback and a new team to get behind. We're going to love them all just like we love these guys.
Yep, right.
For sure.
I'm interested to see what the new OC could do with Kamara next year. I wouldn't write him off just yet. I mean, I know he's what, 28 now, 29. I wouldn't write him off. I want to see what this new OC can do with him before we make any decisions on that.
Jason, would you say that you have a connection to All Saints players?
Now we're getting a little close.
Which, James, James, to your point, do you have any concerns about the offensive line be contributing to that? Like, I mean, for all the good that Kubiak can do, if we don't have a healthy line in front of Kamara and Carr, is it off or not?
So what's our starting offensive line next year as it stands right now, right? So we got Ramchek, Ruiz, McCoy, Hurst, and Penning. That's the starting five right now, right?
I mean, you think Hurst is probably going to be fighting like Saldivari and a few of those other guys for what comes in. And I do assume that we're going to draft somebody in the first or second round for an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I believe that this is the same conversation that we would have had exactly 12 months ago, that this is an offseason where Trevor Penning has to take a step and figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think that it could be dumb. Like last year, it made sense to say that he's going to need to take a step because he had been injured in his rookie year and didn't get to play a lot, didn't get coached a lot. And we hoped that Doug Marrone was going to get the best out of him. He did not, or we hope he did not. But there's new offensive line coaches now, and there's a new staff. And I don't want to act like I know how to break down offensive line tape to tell you, but there isn't a reason that Trevor Penning shouldn't be good at offensive line. At whether it's, you know, run blocking being his specialty or pass blocking, I mean, there isn't a reason that he shouldn't be able to get in the way of one person trying to go from one place to another. I mean, I get it. It's more complicated than that, but somebody needs to coach him up. And I tell you what, he had the right attitude about getting benched. He didn't try to blame anybody else for, well, I need to get out there and get reps. He flat out said, I didn't play good enough and I'm going to get better at this. So if that's a possibility, then I assume they're going to get the most out of Trevor Penning as possible.
I mean, I know we mentioned the draft. We thought defensive tackle or whatever, but if for some reason the tackle, the offensive tackle from Penn State falls to us at 14, you damn right you scoop him up, kick
he's
Penning.
He's mocked to us a lot.
Yeah, like, you know, if that happens and you can kick Penning into guard, like if he's going to succeed, he's got a better chance of succeeding there. And then if it works, you know, Ramchek. Who the hell knows with his knees? But at least if it works, then yep. I'd feel pretty damn good about where the offense can go if that can kind of play out.
You have to think that our lack of even being in the offensive line market out of, you know, of real offensive linemen that play in the NFL in this free agency period, it has to be that the Saints have to have some sort of faith that they can get something better out of Trevor Penning and that Ramchek is at least semi-healthy. Like that's one thing the Saints have not done, is just completely ignored what we could look at as two positions of need, the right tackle and left tackle. And they've done nothing to address that. Like it's not the the Saints' MO to go into the draft with positions of need. It's normally go into the draft with, so we can draft best player available.
That would be kind of funny if we did, if we're like, oh yeah, Penning's going to be our left tackle, Ramchick's going to be our right tackle. Penning sucks, Ramchick gets hurt, and we fall on our face and win 4 games next year.
Good draft position, as long as we don't trade away that first. Yeah, that's one thing I can say is I'm pretty positive that the Saints know that this could all implode, and there's no way we trade our first round draft pick for next year.
I'd like to think but they've proven otherwise. No,
it's the first time it has to be impossible, because any of that swagger they've had the last couple years about trading picks because it's not going to be a high pick, that has to be gone. They have to at least understand there's a possibility that we're a top five pick team next year.
No, it's going to be hilarious. We're going to trade up and draft a receiver, and Loomis is going to come out smacking his gum, and we should have known.
Well, you're going to mention receiver, and I had this conversation with somebody else earlier today, but there's some people saying that the top five picks are all going to be quarterbacks. That would be a couple of quarterbacks being drafted that are not first round draft picks. Probably somebody is going to fall. Like a top 10 pick is going to end up available at 14.
Year?
Yes.
Yeah. This year.
And there's a lot of little things. I want an offensive lineman, I want a defensive tackle. But if Brock Bowers is there, you sprint up there and you pick him because he might be the fifth best player in the whole draft. And if somehow he falls for, he fits in every offensive scheme that there's ever been in NFL history. And he can block, he can catch. I think you take the risk. I mean, and I know that tight end's not the most sexy position to draft in the first round, but that guy's Mark Andrews, hopefully not actually on steroids. Really good.
There's no way, like, these, I know every year it's like, oh, the quarterbacks are so important. I get the top three I can understand.
I want all these other teams to pick quarterbacks.
Look, I would love for 5 quarterbacks to go in the first 5 picks. I think it's impossible. There's no way. This is just pre-draft chatter. There's no way.
No, it's not going to happen.
There's definitely a chance that five go before we pick.
I don't know, man.
Right.
Maybe
like,
4.
It's more likely.
I mean, like, even Mel Kiper this week put out the thing that he thinks that 5 quarterbacks go in the top 12.
Yeah, but
it could be 5 in the top 5. But Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, the JJ McCarthy, And Penix are basically, it's getting to where now, like, the 5 of them are almost promised to go before us.
No way.
Okay. Even if 4 went.
Look, believe me, as a Saints fan, I want it because I know we're not going to draft.
Every time a quarterback gets drafted before we pick on draft night, you've got a shotgun of beer. There you go.
Hey.
Fine. I'm here.
I think actually you should get some you should eat some like snackerdoodle cookies or something.
It doesn't matter. We're going to trade up in the top 7. So before any of the other 3 quarterbacks are picked in.
It's going to be so dumb.
No.
Well, even if we pick Malik Nabers, you wouldn't be happy with that.
I mean, I would be. I don't want to trade up for him.
You would have to. He is.
I know.
Now, you can get Brian Thomas at 14.
Yeah.
Hey, I hate saying it. There's a route where Brian Thomas Jr. has the better NFL career over Malik Nabers. This is the Jefferson and
Chase,
you know, conversation where Chase was the higher drafted guy, but Jefferson's the better wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like there's a route there that Brian Thomas Jr. is the best wide receiver in this draft.
But I mean,
his size and speed, there's nobody that is the same as him.
Well, it's also not like they're. I mean, Chase is still pretty fucking good.
He might not be
Jefferson.
I'm just Jefferson's right. The best wide receiver on the planet. Man, I just want to say that. I hope that trade happens and they're on the same team again with Burrow.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
That would be just so. We'd have a team to pull for in the playoffs. It'd be great for us.
All right, y'all. I think that's pretty much all of the news that's come out, especially with regard to free agency. We talked about Amadi. Did y'all talk about Nathan Peterman yesterday by any way, chance?
No, we did. Yesterday was only Chase Young.
It was just Chase Young news.
We were waiting for you. We didn't want to neuter today's show.
Wow. Okay. Well, good. Glad y'all only talked about what was necessary.
It was one of those special episodes, you know, like the More You Know episodes.
Bringing up Peterman, obviously he was with one of our, I think our quarterback coach, one of our new offensive coaches. He was with him.
He was.
And he was also with Derek Carr in Vegas. I think that obviously it's a veteran presence to hold the clipboard and talk about things. But if he beats out Jake Haener for the backup role, like that's probably disappointing for everybody.
So you're saying that you would expect him,
because we've watched him play
three
in NFL games and he's not good.
Nathan Peterman.
Like he might be really, really smart and a great guy to have a quarterback conversation with when he takes snaps. It's really bad.
People were so pissed about a signing. I'm like, I don't care about the backup quarterback, but I think some of it was, I didn't want to lose Jameis as a backup because I love Jameis, yep, and he loves here. I think a lot of it was just because Jameis went somewhere else and now we're bringing this guy in. Like, yeah, it sucks to lose Jameis. He's a fun guy.
It's like people, again, it goes back to just like foolishness as a fan. Like you can't
like,
always expect
I
to have two.
Well, I don't care about my backup quarterback because we obviously know that, like him or not, Carr's the guy. Like
right.
It sucks.
It doesn't matter
Carr's
who the number two guy is.
If Carr gets hurt, then we're fucked anyway. And isn't that what we all want? We all want them to fail. So why are you mad that we sign a shitty back? Like I just don't give a shit.
It's the whole idea too. Like they intentionally signed the shittiest backups. One, to avoid any potential controversy, and two, to protect Carr's ego, I believe. I mean, you have a lot of these quarterbacks don't like when they have a good guy breathing down their neck.
Especially
with all the jokes about, look at the jokes about Russell Wilson and then Mitch Trubisky. Like Russell Wilson can't be happy about that.
I mean, maybe that's the one thing the fans aren't going to be clamoring
in public, but you're not going to be happy if you're the guy and you got some guy that's literally ready to take your job.
The fans aren't going to be clamoring for Nathan Peterman to come in and take snaps
right,
like we were for Jameis.
Right. And that I think they did this for Carr because, I mean, Dennis, like all this crew, this former Raider crew, are coming in here. And they're setting up shop.
I agree with you that maybe that's the reason. And I don't hate it if they did, like, because they don't need to have a quarterback controversy. But having said that, what better quarterback was going to sign here? Jameis wasn't coming back here. Dennis Allen wasn't working with Jameis again, regardless of the contract. I mean, I hate that. But I knew there was no chance of them working that out. And I don't know who would come here to be in this mess right now.
There was a rumor on Twitter today that we'd offered a fifth for Kenny Pickett. I don't know how true that was, but there was a rumor doing the rounds on Twitter today that we'd made an offer for Kenny Pickett.
And why would Kenny Pickett come here over Philadelphia? I mean, agreed. Like they did right by Kenny Pickett sending him to Philadelphia. Looking back on everything, I wouldn't have hated us doing the Justin Fields trade. As much as I don't know if Justin Fields is a good quarterback at all, I'd rather him be sitting behind Derek Carr than
right
100%. Jake Haener or Nathan Peterman. I mean, at least there's something he can possibly do, and I know he can score a touchdown. Nathan Peterman's been in the NFL for 6 seasons. He's played in 15 games. He's thrown 160 passes. He's completed 53.1% of his passes for 4 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. The longest pass of his career is 28 yards.
I just remember somebody posted something. I think it was Black and Go Review. It's like, if he'd have just thrown the ball in the dirt every time, he'd had a better passing record, rater than he does now.
He's a pretty inaccurate passer then.
And look, maybe they draft a guy with one of their...
He's good at throwing it to the other team, Jeff.
Will he acknowledge the great play by the safety when he picks off his pass? That's the key.
All right, let's get into some final thoughts. Button hooked you.
Somebody want to talk about? Yeah, Wesley, do you want to talk about Shogun?
Yeah, I'm the only one who's watched the first 5 episodes of Shogun. And
hey, we've watched 4.
I'm just saying.
Spoiler alert for anybody who's listening. We are about to talk about Shogun episodes 1 through 4.
Okay, well, should we do our final thoughts first and then do our Shogun final thought to give the listeners more time?
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
That's a very good negotiation.
Yeah. See what I did there? Go Pels.
Face. I wish everybody could see James's face after that one.
They don't want to.
We have one team in the city who I have no faith in, but there's another team in the city that I will stick my neck out for, and that's the Pelicans.
Oh.
Pelicans are rolling, playing really well. They've got a couple games on the road this week. Zion is in shape and playing really well, and people are starting to notice. They're right there. So yeah, look, that's the team that we need to get behind. Not the fucking Saints, who are
In fifth right now, the Pelicans in the West.
They're in fifth. They're like a game behind the fourth.
One game behind the Clippers.
One game behind the Clippers, who they did beat on Friday night
They're about to go in a tough stretch. Like, seven of their next nine games are tough.
Yeah,
they got two very winnable games and seven.
Yeah,
the end
of March and April is going to be tough. But look, they need to get hardened, and Dyson Daniels will be coming back hopefully soon. They're relatively healthy. Zion playing well, and this is this is what we kind of wanted. This is what we've been waiting for, and it's going to be a fun end to the season. So this is the team to get behind, because the Saints don't have anything exciting in their immediate future, whereas the Pelicans do. So go Pels.
Two things from me, both TV related.
Final thoughts.
Yeah, well, I'm linking them both together. Jason, can't believe you didn't mention the Acolyte trailer.
Oh yeah, I'll leave it for you.
I sent it.
I was leaving it for you.
Yeah, it just looks superb. I mean, I know it's a very, very brief look at it. Really,
I saw that it's
100
years before The Phantom Menace.
Oh, so really? It's that early.
It's very early.
With
it's
the
kind of like
the beginning of
the fall of the Jedi. So I'd imagine we'll see Darth Bane or Darth Plagueis.
So those are just words you've made up, right?
Darth Bane. Batman.
and then the second one is, cannot wait for X-Men 97 on Disney Plus tomorrow.
Yeah.
Going back to childhood. It's gonna be really good.
That'll be fun for y'all.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Is it really Saturday childhood? Morning. Weren't you like 8, 19?
Younger days. It feels like a long time ago.
I mean, it was definitely like 12, be. Right?
So wait, yeah. Going back to the better of the two, the Acolyte. So
relax, guy.
Does
X-Men 97, is that animated?
X-Men 97 is animated.
I think it's also supposedly crudely animated, just like it was in 97, all right? Like, they're going back to that same animation style. They're not
trying to be authentic. It's an updated version of the old animated style.
Yeah. So, okay. So for the Acolyte, I got vibes that it looks like it's going to be this combination between like what's best about Andor and what's best about Ahsoka. So like, you're gonna have that mythology from Ahsoka, but I don't know. It just also feels Andor-ish as far as like the storytelling. I don't know.
It is interesting. The guy from Squid Game is playing a Jedi.
Well, it looks like there's a lot of Jedi. Everybody gets a lightsaber.
There were a lot of Jedi back then. Yeah, that was before the Sith. So I would imagine the Sith will be introduced here.
So if it's 100 years earlier, like that's before Obi-Wan and Kenobi, right? He's not that old. Yeah. Right?
Can you play the crickets? I mean, that's now I've seen enough. Yes, thank you.
Wesley, Shogun, go.
Wait, we got to go on. And then it's a post credit.
But Yoda has to show up in the Acolyte, right?
Yeah, needs to. Looked like a Wookiee was there too. Chewie? Is Chewie 100 years old?
He's like 350 years old, isn't he?
Jeez. Oh, well, then that had to be Chewie. That's young Chewie. That's teen Chewie.
Teen Wolf?
Is Michael J. Fox playing the part?
Well, Doc, I don't know about that. That was my David Spade Michael J. Fox impersonation.
That was actually really good.
That was David Spade doing Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
David Spade had starred in Back to the Future.
David Spade did a lot of
Michael J. Fox impressions.
They did it on SNL,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Chewbacca was 190 Solo, A Star Wars Story. There you go.
I don't know, Yoda. That lightsaber was red. Maybe he's a bad guy.
My God, that's so good. You're actually better at doing Michael J. Fox than David Spade was. So I guess technically, Wolfie will be in the... That is going to be Wolfman. What's his name?
Teen Wolf?
What's
Chewbacca?
Name? Yes, thank you.
Teen Wolf.
Teen Chew.
Okay, let's end it so we can talk about Shogun. How's that?
All right.
That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on social, search for Dome Patrol podcast, and don't forget, subscribe on your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star ratings. Give it a comment, set up auto downloads, and that way you can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast anytime, anywhere. Say bye-bye, donkey.
Bye-bye, donkey neck.
Warning, spoilers.
And now, the Dome Patrol podcast presents Jogun, episodes 1-4.
Do you recognize the theme song? Yeah.
I mean, I skip over it every time it comes on, but I recognize it.
It is a pretty cool.
It's a cool animation, but
yeah,
it's not. It doesn't have the Game of Thrones theme song.
Good
pizzazz, but it's fine.
Is that where you're putting this? Is this a Game of Thrones for 2024? Is that the level?
I mean, it's
first five episodes of this are better than the first five episodes of Game of Thrones.
It's not going to go
for 10 seasons, so or however long, 9 seasons, whatever Game of Thrones did. It's a one season show.
Well, 9 seasons of 5 episodes.
Yeah, right.
Just remember, we're only talking about episodes 1-4 here.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do any spoilers, but so, this is, I mean, through 5 episodes for me, this is like a perfect 5 hours of TV. It's like they haven't screwed up anything. It's all entertaining, it's all interesting. It's, we were talking about earlier, it's obviously a show you got to put your phone down because you have to read most of what's going on, and that doesn't distract from it at all. Like it is awesome, and it actually
it adds to it.
Even better that you're staying off your phone and just committing to watching the show.
It's clever of them to do that, but also it's right, the fact that I'm glad, because I was waiting at the first time I was watching, I was like, are they gonna speak in Japanese, give us the subtitles, and then do the whole like, we're gonna transition to English, but you know they're still talking Japanese, but we're gonna do English for your sake.
They're keeping it real.
And that authenticity, it sticks with it, because, and there is something beautiful about the Japanese language and the way they talk, and see, it feels like a movie.
The scenes are beautiful and clear, and like the costume design is insane. Like you actually feel like you're watching a show recorded from the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
It's gritty, it looks like a high budget, beautiful, perfect show, and the acting in it's really good too.
The writing is good, but the story is better. Like, you know, the dialogue is okay. Like, it's standard dialogue. Yeah. I don't think anything stands out for me, but the storytelling, like of what's happening, and the, you know, the first 4 episodes, you're talking about establishing trust between these characters, and they're trying to understand, like, who are you? Are you a ally? Are you a foe?
The thing that's, like, I'm waiting to come out in this is with Omi's uncle. It's Yabu Shigi or whatever. He's the guy that he's playing both sides. And you're like, you're waiting at any point that somebody's just going to reach a sword out and cut his throat and be like, okay, I'm done with you. But,
right, but he's like, no, listen to me.
You're like, I don't know which side's going to kill him, but somebody needs to kill this guy.
Somebody, yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet. Obviously, like, I don't think that guy's making it through 10 episodes, but
you
keep thinking the sooner he dies, the better for the good for side.
Our heroes.
But, yeah. For Toranaga and all like that. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, like, that guy needs to go.
If he dies, but then you have his nephew who was like, yeah, I'm gonna put it in the son's ear to like, no, you shouldn't stand for that. You should do that. So like, he's the real bad guy. So if our guy dies, then it's truly gonna be the not good side take over.
I mean, when Dooku died, then the Emperor steps in. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all leading up to be, there's going to be some pretty epic battle scenes in the remaining. There's going to be at least one episode where there's an epic battle scene, isn't there?
For sure. I mean, there's going to be a massive war. And obviously we're sitting here at the end of episode 4. We've got
cannons exploding people.
Yeah, like tearing horses and people to pieces. Obviously that might be, that's a definite act of war. Also now Blackthorn is getting laid. So, you know, I know we were all waiting on that.
He didn't even want to get laid, setting up a potential issue
where whether you believe her husband died or not, because they didn't show him dying.
As soon as that happened and like he runs back an alleyway, I'm like, we didn't watch him die. And this show is all about showing blood and guts. So yeah. I immediately questioned that. And that's why I was waiting for y'all to catch up this weekend. And I immediately text y'all that like, this is.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be an issue later on. That's good. Well, I also listened to another podcast and they were talking about how the other thing that they're doing, part of what makes this show great is they have, you know, Japanese culture experts, if you will, historians that are on consult for the Japanese stuff. And apparently in the book, So we got cannons that ripped people apart at the end of episode 4, right? It was all about the cannons. The book was with guns and not cannons. They had to change it to cannons because the historian was talking about how, like, if you think about the time that this is set in, muskets had already been introduced to Japan like 50 or 100 years before that. So they're like, there's nothing that Blackthorn would have been able to teach them that they didn't already know about guns. So they made the decision in the show, like showrunners made the decision that, like, well, then we're not going to do it because it's not historically accurate. And they switched it to cannons because cannons like that had not been introduced to Japan and they wouldn't have known how to use them. So, like, I like that they're giving that level of thought and overthinking to the attention to detail so that it just adds to it.
It does. I mean, I've been reading some old newspapers from the 1600s and they weren't mentioning cannons at all. And it was really like throwing me for a loop. So I'm glad that you brought that back. Cool. I was reading my grandpa's National Geographic from the 1600s and I was just, this isn't accurate. What is going on?
Muskets have been there for 100 years already.
Yeah.
It feels predictable because, you know, I mean, Torunaga's going to win, right? His side's got to win. I don't know
This show's setting it up where I can see, like, Torunaga, like, this show could go crazy where Torunaga and Blackthorn, like, both commit suicide in the last episode. We're like, oh, great ending to your life. Like, and we're just, I mean, who knows? Like, it's kind of gotten sideways with a bunch of things. We don't know if Blackthorn actually knows anything about fighting besides shooting cannons. We have no idea.
He's a ship guy. He's not a fighter. Right.
The pirate. So,
but they're not going to.
Ship guy.
Whatever,
he's
man.
He's a Bodie McBoatface.
Yes. Whatever. God, that's funny. He's a ship guy.
And also, like,
I might be a 4, but whatever.
Mr. Madison,
no way.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
That's overstepping.
One of his crew is definitely not still alive.
My lord.
Yeah, I don't think.
Ship guy.
There's a guy we did watch die that we don't.
That was
have
a gruesome way to go.
Jason, he's definitely going to get his ship back, and then he'll be the ship guy again.
But it's interesting that there hasn't been any flashes to wherever his guys are being held and like how they're doing and like are they wasting away? Are they being fed? Are they being tortured? Like it's like and so when if and when he rescues them, like are they all fucked up? Or I mean.
Or are they being groomed on the other side? And they end up like that could be a whole turning point in the war. Yeah. Like maybe they're losing the war and he meets up with his guys who are fighting on the wrong side. And then he woos them over to his side. And there's a double cross. I mean, it's
a triple cross.
Can you triple
the,
stand?
The double stand? Triple.
Yeah. There's a lot that they can play with. And then, yeah, like the ship concept, like imagine kind of like it's almost like what was the episode in Game of Thrones where the
Blackwater.
Ship battle Blackwater? Yeah, like could you have a Blackwater type moment where the ship comes in and just like fucks up the castle or the city that they're trying to take or something?
Kind of the other side is like there's so much, and I think this is just the historian side of it. They're being really accurate with the Japanese art of suicide and seppuku and like all that kind of stuff. But like this girl, like even if her husband isn't alive, if Torunaga found out that she slept with Blackthorn, like would he have her put to death? Like no. Would she just be killed anyway?
I don't believe from the podcast I was listening to and the historian was saying like once he dies, then she's kind of free to be her own person in a sense. And that it would be okay,
and he's been promoted and he's been promoted to like an actual title now, so it's not like it would be sleeping with the barbarian. He's no longer the barbarian,
right?
Well, but also, like if they're under the like if they all think that he's dead, then it should be should be okay. Like they all assume, well, he's
and that's
dead.
Why she isn't betraying him because they think he's dead. Yeah.
Well, she's not even. But I also didn't think
if anything she's betraying his. So his. His relationship to Fuji, the courtesan, like that is a marriage. Like they are in a sense, like they're married because that's what gave him the promotion to the Hatamata, whatever the title is.
I honestly didn't think, maybe I was really naive, but I was like, they kept pointing to, like, of course, in a normal story, it's like, well, of course they're going to sleep together. I'm like, maybe this is one of the stories where you think they're going to sleep together and they don't sleep
it's
together.
It's like a Ross and Rachel, will they, won't they?
Right to it, no waste, no wasting time.
I really thought we'd get like three seasons of will they, won't they, you know?
Did not even waste 30 seconds preparing for it, just dropped it straight in.
Just like that.
Literally.
That's...
Now, Game of Thrones would have given us full frontal on both of them. So,
well, I was honestly thinking, because it's on
this
Hulu.
Ain't HBO.
I mean, because it's on Hulu, we saw the mistress who was
it's
sleeping with.
It's on FX, Jason. It's not just Hulu. It's on FX.
Right, but Hulu will show the nudity. FX will not.
Oh, like there'll be an FX cut and a Hulu cut?
Jeff is no longer watching the FX.
I guess I gotta get that on YouTube.
Let me get that password.
It's funny. There was another show, and I can't remember.
They showed the titties on Disney Plus. I can confirm that.
Oh, there
you
go.
I think it was Disney After Dark. Wasn't it Mayor of Easttown or not Mayor of Easttown? The other one with Jeremy Renner.
There was
allegedly. That's ignorant.
No, there was something that I watched. Maybe it was Dave. The little Dickie show where it was on FX on TV, but then it was on Hulu.
I guess they did show Full Frontal, if you know that.
I think it was the episode with the sex doll. They actually showed the parts of the sex doll on Hulu. They didn't. They blurred it out on FX.
They showed the little Dickie.
Yeah.
It was a rubber Dickie. But anyway, yeah, if you're looking for that and they show it, you'll see it on Hulu. You won't see it on FX.
Excellent.
All right. Anything left on Shogun before we end it?
No. Are y'all going to watch episode 5 tonight?
If we shut the fuck up, I'm ready to go watch it right now.
I'm going
to
watch it
immediately post tonight.
Okay, good.
Post recording.
I am going to watch it tonight. Maybe not post recording, but I'm going
to. Tonight's a good night because you got Survivor tomorrow night.
Y'all knock it out. Well, let's talk about it.
And we're going to have X-Men 97 and the Bad Batch tomorrow. It's Wednesday is such a big day for TV.
We're definitely going to have that.
Watch Constellation on Apple.
I may not even make it to those. I'm just going to be so busy with the.
Watch Constellation on Apple and watch The Gentleman on Netflix. Both great shows.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.